Broadcasting from the beautiful Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.
Talk to Patrick now, 888-663-6386, or email patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com.
Well, this beautiful Hill Country received two storms over the last couple of days, and in Texas, we were very grateful for that. In July, my goodness, it just doesn't happen very often. Rain. What is that stuff falling out of the sky? But it did blow out our incoming telephone lines. I'm going to try to get those figured out how to work today. Has to do with some of the equipment as well. So we sent back some equipment yesterday, but I'm going to try to get a phone line, at least one working for an Open Phone Friday tomorrow. If not, we'll just do Open Phone Friday with Open Email Friday. Just do emails. And we'll just do emails this morning for our next guest, Gerald O'Donnell, just like last guest. If you have a question, comment, patrick@oneradionetwork.com. Phone lines are not functioning. Incoming, patrick@oneradionetwork.com is our email address. I'm going to say hi to Gerald O'Donnell, probablefuture.com. Mr. O'Donnell, good morning.
Good morning, Patrick. How are you?
Well, I'm just finer than a frog's hair.
Wonderful.
Where are you? Wonderful. Where are you located this morning?
I'm in Boca Raton, Florida.
Boca Raton, Florida. My God.
Yeah. I find interesting that every single time I come online, the phone line are not working. Is that
I don't know. Did that happen last time?
Yes, it happened last time too. Yeah.
Really. Gerald O'Donnell, you're a remote viewer, and you teach people how to do this amazing kind of technique.
Yes, at least I try to. Yes.
Does it take a special kind of a person to know how to do this stuff?
No, absolutely not. No, it's a gift that all of humanity has from birth, and I'm talking from the birth of humanity.
Are you looking into the future? And the future, if the future hasn't happened yet, I mean, how do you see what hasn't happened yet?
Because there are two parts to ourselves. There is the human part that usually focuses on the past, and then based on the past is conditioned by its memories, even though the memories are gone and we only live the now. And we tend to, because of that, to repeat history, because we only try to find answers in the past. And then there is what you could call your soul, or higher self, or the higher level creators, who are constantly focusing on the future. And they're anchoring energy onto paths in the future, and they're basically bringing the future into the to us. So basically, their work is from, we operate from the past in the direction of the future. They operate into the direction of the future, bringing it to the now, and then it goes to the past. So it's like they operate against, time is inverted for them, and they don't really focus at all in the past. So there are futures that are being prepared by us by what I call the higher levels. Mm-hmm. It'd be degrees of higher self, because there's not only one higher self. There's a higher self to a higher self, and they form groupings. And they're preparing our future. Now we as the human elements here have gigantic amount of free will, because we can choose from these prepared futures, or we can even alter the prepared futures that are prepared for us.
So,
and that's what we teach.
Yes, that's what you teach. So generally, humans will think about what's kind of gone on in the past, blah, 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 and then they start thinking about the future based upon the past.
Right. Yeah, and that's why most of the time, because they're energizing all their scars and their usually fears, they repeat them, because they just think that, just the mere fact that they're thinking constantly about what happened to such and such moment,
sure.
They keep on repeating it's a great shift in consciousness to allow mankind to start focusing only on the future, letting go of the past.
Mm-hmm.
Because in reality, the past is gone.
So if we have an image of somebody in our relationship, it could be anything. It could be government, or it could be wife or husband or child or uncle or grandpa, right?
Yeah.
And we kind of cement that in there, and that's just the way grandpa is. My goodness, that's just the way he is.
Right.
That's the experience we have with grandpa, because we've kind of cemented that past, huh?
Right. Well, yeah.
Yeah. So how would then we change our relationship with grandpa if he's been this way for 75 years?
Well, the two elements here, there's the memory that you have of grandpa, which is your memory of grandpa, let's say.
Right.
It doesn't mean that it is in reality the way he really was. Everybody has gone their own perspective as far as what they've experienced. If you have three people experiencing the same situation, they have three different perspectives.
Yes.
But let's say your own perspective relating to a particular individual is what you remember of the individual. First of all, nothing is static in creation. Everything is constantly dynamic. And believe it or not, since we are all a unified field of consciousness, what you are going to perceive about the future of your relationship with that individual is going to influence the quality of that individual also. So it's not so much a grandpa is thinking of what grandpa used to be, but you are now focusing and creating a field and an environment around your interaction with the reality, called the bubble reality of grandpa, that will then change the reality of your relationship, and therefore will change grandpa too at the same time.
That's how
you can influence other people.
Because you're giving grandpa the space to have a different experience in that moment, rather than focusing in on, that's just the way you are, grandpa.
Correct. Exactly, because there is only the moment. There is nothing else. There is no past.
There is nothing else, man.
There is no future. There really is none of this. This is just a sequence of moments. We're living a sequence of moments, which we call time. That's how we perceive it.
Well, how can you have a sequence if there's no time? I mean, if it goes from moment to moment, isn't there some time in there somewhere, Gerald O'Donnell?
Well, the time is the perception of a cycle, you know. As long as you have a perception of a cycle, and the perception of the cycle gives you the perception of the duration of a cycle, and it's always relative to the duration of another cycle, you have this idea of time. There is no time.
So we have a perception that the Earth goes around the sun, and the clock will spin 24 hours, whatever that is, right?
Right.
So then we have a perception of time. But there's not really any time. I mean,
no, there is none. No. Even in the original, if you look at the original Genesis in the Bible, when time is defined or implemented for creation, they talk about periods. You know, they talk about cycles. They talk about, you know, the cycles of the planets and the planetary cycles and day and night and years and so forth. These are only cycles. Now, it's like a length. You cannot define the length of anything. You can just say that this is bigger and this is smaller. And we have the perception that, because it's twice as big, therefore, if you considered one to be 1 centimeter, the other one is going to be 2 centimeters and so forth. But for all we know, my reality bubble may be totally different from your reality bubble. I'll give you an example, but that's just I'm just playing a game here. Let's say if I'm an individual who would be 10 feet tall, okay, but in my perception here, in my reality, I show to be 6 foot. But in reality, in your perception, you're 4 feet. But if we were, there is no 4 feet, there is no 6 feet. When we get together, our perception of each other compares. We're always comparing, values, comparing distances, comparing time, you know. That's why time is always relative. So I see you bigger, I see you smaller. You may see me therefore to be 6 feet tall, but if you see my real, my real length, my real height, you may realize that I'm 10. At that point, I would realize that you're 3 or 2 feet tall, because it's only because there is this so-called matrix that's coordinating the relative bubbles of reality, that everything seems to be in sync. It's synchronized. synchronizes everything within the perception of, that we have of each other and of our environment.
And these spirits...
There is no time. We know we are like tiny little atoms, you know. There is no time and there is no space.
Mm-hmm. So, aging then would maybe be correlated to the idea that we do believe that there's time. So in other words, if we say, I'm going to go see my girlfriend a week from Tuesday, and we really create a space there, right? We create this space, and we think about, oh, Tuesday is only 10 days away, now it's 9 days away.
Right.
And we create this space. That creates time, and that probably, I theorize that that's the only reason we would age, because we believe that there's a space between now and a week from Tuesday.
And because we believe in the theory of aging. I mean, we are programmed.
The whole basic idea of aging.
I mean, especially in the Anglo-Saxon world, the mere fact that you take a baby when he's born and you say he's 3 months old, that word alone, when you use the word old. He's already programming the poor child to believe in aging. If you were to say he's 3 months younger or 70 years younger, I guarantee you that the body would not age at the same rate. There's no way the body would age at the same rate. And if you could take away the idea of timing, no birthday, you know, like every day is a new day, because in reality, every day is a new day. We are birthed in the morning and we leave at night. Our souls leave at night and comes back in the morning where we're doing our so-called dreaming sessions. If you see every day as a new day and not be so focused on timing, the potential is great, so that you could extend your life by much greater amounts. But there is a consensual reality of aging. Now, I'm not going to go into. Of course, there are problems. This is if your biology is functioning with full flow of energy, full flow of connection and biological nourishment. If you are poisoning it the way many of us are doing it right now. Either unwillingly because they're unaware of it, or they just because they decided that they can overcome this, then of course it's going to affect your longevity. But if you are able to deprogram your mind from thinking about this, and not, you know, we work in decades, for instance, you know, we think somebody that's 40 is different from somebody that's 50. For some reason, we go into those cycles that we have accepted as belief systems. And they do affect then the biology. The biology is just reacting to our belief systems.
The biology, so this epigenetics idea, Gerald
O'Donnell. Yeah, exactly.
It's real.
Genetics. I mean, yeah, it's real.
It's
absolutely
real.
Absolutely, yes.
It's real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen people who start to believe that they are 30 and 40 when they get to be 50 or much longer. And right. They turn back the clock.
I kind of been
they're convinced of it.
Yeah,
you know?
I've kind of been taking that attitude. For what it's worth, I don't know. You know, I don't know what I'm talking about. But with idea of radiation, I mean, if I really believed that radiation from Fukushima or Chernobyl or something is going to kill me, God, I mean, why would I want to have that thought?
Okay, here we're going into what is really reality, right? It's not only a thought; it's what we think is the environment. So do we believe the environment is real, or do we believe the environment is a projection from the inner, the outer? Okay.
Even more than a belief, it's talk about that. So you're saying that this environment is just a projection anyway?
All environments are projections from the inner to the outer. We light what we call the environment with the consciousness of our soul. And it's a projection. Everybody lives in a bubble reality. We think of the Earth as being round. In reality, it shows itself as being round, but we all have our bubble reality as a projection of reality. It's like you're inside a movie, a 3D movie, and then it's three-dimensional and you're moving around.
Our consciousness.
And your consciousness, the light of the divine in the consciousness, is projecting through you, through your senses, an impression of an environment. Now, there are rules in this environment, certain rules, and then the environment itself operates under very, very complex rules that are connected to both your, what you could call your subconscious as an individual, but also the gigantic subconscious of the Earth, or the universal planetary consciousness. That subconscious is operating under certain rules that are, even the human subconscious is unbelievable. I mean, when you see what's happening at the level of the biological element in the human, you have trillions upon trillions of operations every nanosecond. They are coordinated. I mean, the intelligence that goes behind it is incredible. Let's not even talk about the DNA operations. So when you look at the DNA of the whole planetary system, it's operating constantly, and it has rules. You can't really avoid these rules by just saying they don't exist, because you're a part of it. Do you understand?
Okay.
But it's not your advantage to let yourself focus constantly on the impact that this will do upon yourself and think that you're doomed when there is a way out, when there is a way whereby you can protect yourself if you understand that within you lies a core of the divine infinite power.
Mm-hmm.
If you are able to convince yourself with full faith and eventually experience that within you lies the core of divine infinite power, then that core has no barriers, that core has no rules, absolutely no rules. That core heals immediately, and that core is eternal. So when you're able to understand that this is what gives life to everything, including the elements of death, because radioactivity is an element that is necessary in the Earth to transform parts of the Earth into what will then give life. It's a cycle within the Earth. They are in the Earth, but they're meant to stay in the Earth, not to be removed from the Earth and then exploded in the atmosphere. What we have done as a creation is rarely been done in any creation. That's considered to be, if anything, is considered to be a sin against the Creator, that is one.
So this knowingness that you just talked about in reality, or in relation, say, to Fukushima or something, this knowingness as soul, this is what changes our cells and our physical body to dance with this stuff?
Yeah, you can dance with the Creator. When you dance with the Creator dances with you, because you're starting to realize that, as the famous saying of Jesus, then you and the Father are one. He didn't mean that he's the only one that is one with the Father. He meant that every single child of the Father, which is all the created beings, are one with the Father being the source, the active source that projects out. Okay, of course, it's not a gender, it's just an act of projecting out. So if you realize that you and the Father are one, and you start living that, it's like when you start living the fact that you are not your age, you are not your biology in reality, that you are really this eternal spark inside of you. When you start living that and being only focusing on that, the so-called pollution, the gook that's outside, the poison that usually would affect someone in a very strong way, are able to be literally devibrated. They can be just taken off from you and eventually from your whole environment. And the more people go into this state of balance and focus on the core one, which we all are. It means by one, we mean that we are all one, but we are all originating from this core point of consciousness that started the rippling in the ocean of thought, if you want, a pure thought, a ripple of vibrational creation. If we realize that this ripple is still within us, because there is no time, we're still manifesting that ripple, we have the power of the one, and therefore at that point we can allow ourselves to devibrate what literally is a killing element.
We're talking with Gerald O'Donnell. His website is probablefuture.com, Academy of Remote Viewing and Remote Influencing. Fascinating stuff. We had Gerald on a few years ago, and it's good to connect back with him. Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com, also Natural News Radio.com. We've had some kind of disconnect. Oh, man, I don't know what it is when Gerald... disconnect on the internet this morning. So if you get a little blips in our broadcast, we are aware of it. You don't have to send me an email. We're doing whatever we can to deal with that. But you Don't forget, the podcast is totally available and will be uninterrupted in about a couple of hours or so. If you'd like to join in the conversation, since our phone lines are down going in, it is patrick@oneradionetwork.com, patrick@oneradionetwork.com. So in your remote viewing, let's see if I understand. So are you saying that when we remote view, let me ask it this way. If I sit quietly in my chair and I imagine myself, say, on the beach in Hawaii, right?
Yes.
And I feel the sand, I feel the ocean and the breeze and the whole thing. Mm-hmm. What's going on there? Am I remote viewing? Am I looking at that beach as soul, or what's going on there? What is, and how can we use this imaginative facility and maybe be more creative?
Okay. The way creation operates really is that the creator is imagining all of creation.
God is imagining itself?
Yeah. God is imagining every single element of creation.
That's how
imagining.
It's imagining it.
Yeah. He's keeping this in his gigantic imagination. Now, the way God imagines creation is not necessarily the way by which we perceive creation. See, when you're in Hawaii, you perceive the surf, you perceive the magnificent nature, and you see it in that manner. You see it visually, you see it tactically, you see that you feel the breeze and so forth.
Right.
The way God imagines is that by vibrating elements of light in a way by which we don't understand yet, but we will soon, because there will be a shift in it's coming now in the next couple of years, where many elements of creation, and I'm not talking about human elements, are going to start operating at that level. So that type of imagination and vibration of creation allows you to imagine an infinite amount of parallel operations. It's really infinite intelligence. Okay, it allows you to imagine an infinite amount of parallel operation and keep it vibrated in your own mind. Understand that even in your biology, your DNA is a vibratory pattern of light. It's a standing wave, and it's constantly vibrating. And you know the electrons in molecules are constantly vibrating, and they're kept within very tight rules. Someone has to keep this going. It's not you consciously. You're not doing it. So it is your what you could call your subconscious, you know, and this is a grand word. Nobody knows where it's located. Of course, most of it is not located in your brain. Brain is an interface. But it's kept vibrating so that you are kept imagined and your biology is kept imagined. So everything is in the imagination of the one. So to go back to your original question, you're asking what, that original question?
The idea of we are imagining ourselves in Hawaii. We feel the ocean, we feel the beach, we feel the sand.
Right.
Some people will say, well, if you do that enough, well, then pretty soon you're going to be just buying a ticket and getting on an airplane, and then your body will follow where you have been already. Is that a reasonable paradigm that you don't even...
Yes, it is reasonable, because with our senses, okay, if you imagine anything around you, and I've said it on a different once radio show, if you imagine that you're touching anything in your room, for instance,
right.
Just right now. Just imagine you're touching any element in your room, okay? I guarantee you, even something that you've never touched, you will sense with your mind the texture of that element perfectly well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's metal, you feel the metal. If it's plastic, if it's wood, you feel it.
Mm-hmm.
You can do the test across the street. You can, you know, imagine touching some elements in nature or another house, and go outside and touch it, and you're going to realize that what you thought you were imagining is real. That's the texture. You felt it. So what has really happened? Your mind connected to the vibratory pattern of that house or that element in the house or that element of nature or that particular element in your apartment. Because every single element that we have around us at its origin is a vibratory pattern of light. Our brain transforms the vibratory pattern, this gigantic sea of vibratory light, which we don't see because that's not how we are meant to see for now. this gigantic sea of vibratory light into impressions of dimensions, textures, smells, and so on and so forth. It's beautiful. It's a transducing element, if you want, the brain. It produces this translation of one language into another one through the neurons and the cones in your eyes and so on and so forth. So when you're connecting to that vibratory pattern across, you're there because there is no real space. It's just thought connecting to that vibratory pattern. You go from thought to thought.
You are there.
You're there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're absolutely there. And then if you're a very good remote viewer, you're going to be doing this on that level and then being there. And when you want to influence reality, you're doing the same thing. You go to the level, whether it's your biology or it's somebody else's biology, you go into their biology, you become that vibratory pattern, and you do what you need to do.
But you don't mess around with somebody else's free will, do you, Gerald O'Donnell?
No, that's exactly what I want to tell you. That's the big question in creation.
Sure.
I don't, many do, okay? And that's a no-no in creation.
That's kind of like black magic, maybe?
Yes, exactly, you got it. That's the difference between...
You don't want to do that.
Black magic and white magic, yeah. The dark side is really an interesting cat, to say the least, because it's an element that's powerful. It looks like a big genie, big black genie, and it's really powerful because it has intelligence, but it has no energy of its own. It has no battery of its own. It needs to draw batteries out from us. So in order to get the energy, it infiltrates the humans. The humans are pure projections of the divine. You know, Adam was created in the shadow of the divine, but it's a shadow and the similitude of the divine, so it has that spark. The dark side, most of it, not all of it, by the way, but most of it, does not have this inner spark of light that we just give it all the light it needs. It needs to draw it from either straight from the divine, but it's afraid of the divine, because if it gets close to the divine, then it thinks that it will not be able to survive as the, you know, antithesis of it. So what it does, it tries to infiltrate in sneaking, you know, in a sneaking way, trying to infiltrate human beings. And it does it through anything. You know, it does it through the media of television, through usually fear, or through even sexual relationships, you know, but in a very basic, somehow depraved way, okay? And it will try to do as much as it can. I mean, it will try to accumulate as many partners as it can, because it's drawing energy, constantly drawing energy, or it will give theories, political theories, or it could be all kinds of theories. And now the internet is used for that. In the old times, it was not that. They would use political theories or religious theories that would attract masses of crowds that would then focus on whatever theory and then get angry about this and then want to fight in the name of whatever. And then at that point, it would just draw this energy. That energy has no real power per se to achieve anything. And when you're dealing with such an energy, the only thing you can do is just basically turn your head away and then not get involved. That energy will sneak in. You're not supposed to sneak in into anybody else when you're a light being. You ask for permission. It's very easy. You just go to the subconscious of that being, the soul, so to speak, and let's say you want to do a healing, and you ask, you know, I want to do a healing. Would you accept my healing? And you will get a perception, a sense, whether you're welcome or not. If you're not welcome, you just don't do it.
The dark forces and all the strange things that people, Gerald O'Donnell, are talking about now, whether it be the New World Order or, you know, the bank, all this kind of stuff and war.
Right.
Does this energy live off of our attention to it, or our fear of it, or our anger towards it? Does it suck our energy out?
Absolutely.
That's what's going on?
Yeah. If you notice, the same story is always repeated in a similar pattern, but adapted to the period, you know, since the 1800 or 1700. I mean, you can see the same story being repeated about the bankers and these groups taking over, and usually they use the same group as being, you know, as a scapegoat. The whole idea is not so much that they need anger. So of course you look for groups that have power, and when you don't have it, you know, looks that towards groups that don't suffer, let's say, financially when you are suffering financially. You look at for groups that are more connected to the controlling governments and controlling people, then when you feel that you're out of control and then you're under control and you're enslaved. I'm not saying they don't exist. That's not my point. I'm not saying the story and maybe the existence of those groups is purely not to achieve for them anything. It's purely for us to get upset. And as we get upset...
That's why they're there.
Yeah.
To test us, so to speak?
Just to test us and then to suck our energy into the dark side. They're just agents of the dark side. Sometimes they don't even exist. It's an illusionary story, but it's enough for people to believe in it that you have to understand, since reality is just imagination,
mm-hmm.
within even the creative element that we call the Adamic being on Earth, there is both light and dark. There is dark in Adam, too. So... And this is a product of our belief system and a product of eons of belief system, not only this generation. And then and they're sitting there. These are like weird energy forms. It just feels are sitting there, and they barely vibrate, but they're trying to attach to new stories, and they're trying to suck new people into their own world. Sadly enough, when they do that, and you give them energy, you lose your own spark almost. Your spark gets very, 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 very dim, and you disconnect from the divine. Because if any connection takes you away from joy and pure love, because the divine is pure love, because the divine does not love anybody else but itself. Because for the divine, every creature is itself. It cannot hate anybody. It cannot discard anybody.
Hmm.
It can rebalance itself, but it will not discard anybody. So for the divine is constantly in a state of joy, welcoming, and hoping for the connection between the divine, the source, and the creator, and the creatures, between the creator and the creatures, to be reestablished, because that's how it started. The whole story started like that. If all those stories are brought to you, it's because they will bring you to a state of disconnection, a state of anger, a state of where you will want to lash out, and even physically lash out.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just watch our world around us. That's all people are doing. They're fighting for stories that are like 700 years old, 800 years old. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Fighting for what, Gerald? Stories?
Stories that are 700, 800 years old, if not thousands of years old.
What do you mean fighting for stories?
We're talking about religious wars.
Right, okay.
Talking about economical systems that really are more or less the same right now. We're talking about, if you talk about the U.S., the right, the so-called right and so-called left, which are really the same.
Sure.
Because in reality, they hate the same and they want the same. I mean, instead of looking at the point of commonality that they have and then the beauty that can arise from a state of crisis like we have right now, and working together to change the system so we are all, because it's all available here. We could all really live very, very happily right now, right here, at this moment, if we were to focus on it. They focus on the point of contention. They go back to old stories of... They think that they have to isolate themselves and dig holes in somewhere and then protect themselves and then it's sad. It's really sad.
What's the difference between just totally tuning out everything that's going on in the world, just totally, just not read any of it, blah blah blah, just don't even learn about it, and reading about it, knowing that it's there, but not letting us affect us, what would be the latter be the more preferable? Because you
yes.
at least have aware of what's
yes.
going on?
Yes.
Because?
Yeah, it's okay to be aware. You should be aware, because not because it's real. You know, I know a lot
not
of people.
Not because it's real.
and then you know what you need to have is have a very good funny sense of humor. Saying, mm-hmm. "Wow, what a nice funny story!" You know, and then because a lot of these people, you know, we think this is one universe. We really think we live in one Earth, one universe. It is not one Earth. It's not one universe. There are multiple stories being played out at different vibratory levels. Some are low hum vibratory levels, and therefore they're like much darker stories because the people that engage them are into fear stories, and they might get, I'm sorry to say, they might get aliens attacking, and they might even witness that, you know. They might really truly witness, or subterranean government institution, and they witnessed that. Because this is a multiverse universe. It's one, but it's many. And everybody has got their own bubble reality, but when you engage with many people having similar belief system, and they willingly, out of free will, because they're divine beings, out of free will, accept to engage in a conference where they meet similar people who have similar experiences, and they are stuck in a certain vibratory hum and a certain reality bubble. And as they're stuck in that reality bubble, more of it will be projected, again, from their own subconscious out, with the help of the group consciousness that they are forming now. Because there is that's forming a subconscious on the level of a creative element higher that can then project all these whatever, you know. Right now, nobody's seeing dragons. Have you noticed?
Nobody's seeing dragons?
Dragons, no.
I don't see
I have books, you know, from 1610 French old books that, where they say on top of Paris, a big dragon. Now, you're going to say it was a UFO. I'm telling you, no, it was a dragon. They were seeing dragons. Because in the mind of the people in those times, that's what they were looking for, you know, as a representation of evil. A dragon, you know, that would come and either usually fight against them, or sometimes there would be some nice dragons. Right now, we're in a technological society, so we see technological things. If you notice, in the 1950s, the technological so-called aliens were more operating with technology that was more 50-like, you know. Now sure. It's becoming more 80-like. Now, that if you ever wonder why, it's because we wouldn't accept a 50-like object in our times. We want to see it, like, really sophisticated now.
So, do you think Earth is a place that there will be peace on Earth sometime, or it's always going to be this?
Of course, there will be
always this opposite kind of a thing going on with the.
Well, the polarity game cannot go on for longer, you know. And I'm receiving, and I know its source. I'm receiving for the last year and a half now, messages from source stating that enough is enough. I mean, you know, like source. Has been the, what I call the little, almost wailing voice inside of us, watching patiently all this as the children have grown into what they've grown into, and there's a feeling that we can't allow this to go much further because the toys we're playing with are by far more dangerous. The effect we have on the environment is by far more important and actually deleterious right now and very dangerous. The environment has its own rules. It's all divine. Nature is ruled by the divine, and nature has great problems in balancing itself. Because if we don't have an environment in order to project our dream and mirror back our reality so we can interact with it with free will, the creator has no one to project onto. He has no dream. It's the end of the creation. The creator wants to continue creating in conjunction with us, because we are co-creator. So there is an intervention now from the creator, and the way this is going to happen is that the creator's mind, if you want, this infinite intelligence, is slowly but surely going to infiltrate humans here. Not all of them at once, but first some humans and then more. And then these humans are going to be totally transformed by this infiltration, whereby they will go from a linear type of thinking, you know, a mind which we call a human mind, to a divine mind and an understanding of how creation operates. And they will have powers of creation and vibration of realities, which the others who are still in the fear mode, in the rejectional mode, would still think that, you know, we have, you know, the systems of old are better than the system of today, or want to keep the systems of today, which are totally collapsing. I mean, all the systems are collapsing.
All this,
these ones will have problems unless they welcome that energy, unless they say, okay, you know, I'm on strike, I want something new, this is not working. No, it's like you sit down and you put down your foot on the table and you said, okay, that's it, I'm done. Something new.
But so all of the chaos, even though it's just an illusion, is part of the experience, so we can have the motivation to wake up a bit.
Yeah, it's sad, but it's true, because you know, most of creation at the level of this creation operates on the principles. I'm not saying that we are artificial intelligence, but on the principle of artificial intelligence, meaning that we learn by our mistake. That's how artificial intelligence learns, you know. It discards what not to do and then therefore learns what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So all the human elements throughout history have added their knowledge from father to son and daughter and mother and same thing, to have added their knowledge to what is in reality one being. The being is man, human, because it's man and female. So it's that humanity has created an incredible, beautiful kaleidoscope of stories, but because of the fact that we have had such trouble in realizing that we are all the divine manifested in facets, we are all facets of the divine playing against each other, but in reality, we are the divine. It's not that the divine is somewhere in a nursing home or in the sky and then, you know, just waiting for it to be arisen when time comes back and then we'll come down on a horse or on a UFO. That's ridiculous. So it's in us. It's living in us.
And what do you think the significance is, Gerald O'Donnell, of you and I and our listeners incarnating now during this time of really big changes going on all levels, spiritually, physically, you know, as you know, financially, geopolitically, over the next few years, that looks like it can be some real interesting things
to say the least. Yeah.
Did we just come here to participate in some way, to help in some way?
Yeah, we all came here to participate at all the levels. You know,
so we signed up.
It doesn't matter
this.
if you're a plumber or you're the president of the country. We all came here to participate, witness this, and evolve through this. Because the whole creation is realizing that this cannot continue at all levels. Now, this has never happened before. You know, you could have problems within a city state, and you could have problems within a country. You could have problems within a system. You could have problems within a block of countries, even. You know, you could have problems within an ecological system in one area. Now it's everything is falling apart at the same time. That is not a coincidence. It's not the end of creation. It's the end of a certain type of creation where everything was based on polarity and the fight for entrenchment in that polarity, you know, like the male were fighting females, rich men, poor men, white, blacks, just name it. Everything across the spectrum was just fighting each other, you know, or communist and capitalist. This is not working. You know, we are here, one family. This is the human family. And then the human family has to unite across. It's like the symbol of the cross, horizontally. And then the human family has to unite from the bottom to the top, you know, to the source. And realizing in reality that the source is at the junction of the two. Because it meets us in the middle, within our heart. That's where the heart is, you know, the point in the middle of the cross. That's where it is. So if we are able to connect to the heart and let go of the stories that we are imprinted in our brain, all stories, which are not even genetic stories, the stories that we have been taught by our culture, our parents, the books, you know, that we read, the information that we get, that's usually, as you know, is very controlled by groups or whatever on the internet.
Past lives too, right?
Yeah, and the story of past life. Uh-huh. Let go of all this. It's irrelevant. It's gone. I mean, if you had a scar, you know very well the body is perfect. It has a blueprint of perfection all around itself. It can recreate the blueprint of perfection. But for some reason, we insist on showing the scar. We want to see the scar. You know, I got wounded. I want to see the scar. And instead of that, the body will recreate the imperfection, keeping the scar. It doesn't have to be like that. All you need to do is instruct your DNA. And as a matter of fact, talking about the DNA, when this happens, the DNA opens up to much higher level of operations that we can't even imagine. The brain opens up. The much higher levels of operation, so we perceive realities and parallel realities. It's coming. It's we're right there. We're on the cusp. It's the most exciting time for humanity. So people should not be, you know, like shivering and going in an underground bunker waiting for whatever, you know, end of the world or killer shot from the sun, and thinking that it's over, and then piling up on food, because that's not going to help anybody nor save anybody. What they have to think of is how they're going to help their fellow men right now from this moment on. And they have to understand that right now, this year, have you noticed how calm this year has been?
Very, very.
Yeah, people were saying 2012, the end of the world.
Sure,
it's calm.
Sure.
But there's a purpose for that. What is really happening right now is that the one is really monitoring silently all of creation, allowing us to have free will. And at the same time, believe it or not, this year, the one has intervened to levels that we cannot even imagine to keep everything in balance. If not for the one this year, and I just got this today, the economical system would have collapsed. I mean, literally collapsed. The ecological system would have gone down the tube. Fukushima would have been a disaster of levels that we cannot even imagine. It would have been the end of this creation. It would have literally burned down into meltdowns and then spread around the whole world. The ecology would not be able to sustain anything anymore. We would have problems with global warming that we can't even, you know, fathom. And all this has been kept for us to show that when the one wants, it can be stabilized. Nevertheless, this is not, this world is not the way the one is dreaming a world for us. He's dreaming a world of beauty and communications and peace that we cannot even imagine. But that has to do with increase in awareness of his creatures. His creatures need to increase their awareness. We call this intelligence and IQ. It's more than that. It's awareness. And this will happen.
So helping each other and getting along, I guess, would be two things that we could really work on, each one of us.
Yes.
Listening today.
Yes.
Getting along with each other.
Yes.
And helping each other. That's pretty simple.
Isn't that the simplest thing? Helping each other, caring for the other, understanding that if there is a crisis, don't focus on going dig a hole somewhere in a mountain and, you know, and build weapons around and minefields. And that's not what the one wants to see in people. He wants to see that you're thinking of how you're going to share your dwelling with others, how you're going to go out and provide food, what kind of alternative type of transportation is going to be allowed for that period. It's only going to be somehow of a short period where things are going to be difficult. And he wants to see that because, and that's the big if, because if individuals cannot accept oneness and they are entrenched in this idea of, you know, me and my fortress, you know, against their and their fortress, it's like a tumor type of mentality.
Yeah, yeah.
There will come a time when the one will not enter that being, or he will, or in that, I just got that, or the one will enter. You know, that, there will be a sun explosion, but it won't be the outer sun. It will be the inner sun, the source, will explode in light in that being, and that particular being will not be able, because his biology and his, especially because biology has to do with the biology is related to the awareness, to the consciousness. His biology will not be ready to accept these high levels of energy, and then he will literally implode. He won't be able to take it.
With your work, do you get a sense of timing as far as intensity and some of the things in the years to come, 13, 14, 15?
Yeah.
Well, what can you talk about what's your perception of how it's playing out?
Okay, what I get is that the major shift, okay, what we call the major shift, there's going to be something really, well, let me put it this way. In 2013, there's going to be events already, instability.
Geopolitical
instability. There is a possibility that towards the end of this year, we're going to start having economical instability again.
Yeah.
In 2014, there's going to be, also in 2013, 2014, some individuals are going to start having the one entering them. They might not talk about it much because this is not something that they want to broadcast across.
More people will become awake or aware.
Yeah, they will be awake and they will have this light inside, and then they won't have to learn knowledge from a book. They will learn it from the divine light.
Mm-hmm.
It's totally different. You don't go and read something and go to school for that. That's like pure knowledge, like integrated knowledge. Because as we know, light carries information, and you will have the knowledge through the divine light. And then 2015, there's a great shift where the masses become aware that the One is really active in creation. I have no idea what this is going to be. And then this continues. Basically, we have 9 years. From, it started really in 2010, and it's going to continue until 2019. We have 9 years for that. It's like a birth of a new creation, basically.
So financial, geopolitical, earth changes, all those kinds of things are really part and parcel of this and can be expected.
Yeah, they can be expected, but the solution, in, and everybody will realize the solution, is to stay, is open your heart. Focus on the good. Don't focus on the bad. Do not discriminate against anybody else. Even the ones that you think are evil, don't be aggressive towards them. They are facets of the One. They came here to play a certain role.
Forgive them. Yeah. Forgive them.
Forgive them. Basically, forgive yourself, because you know. I think you said that on the in the interview before. I remember. If you find something across you that you don't like, it's really something within you that you don't like.
It's probably true, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because when you see something in others, it's really something that you have. So you don't heal the other; you heal yourself.
So all the strangeness we see geopolitically, financially, the discoordination, it's got to be, we still are carrying that inside of us somewhere, aren't you?
We all carry that because we are all one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We are all mirrors. You see, imagine you have this gigantic sphere, which is the One, but you can't see it. It's basically infinite. We're all bathing inside of it, and then there are mirrors. And the energy of the One is like the energy of space or the energy of the void. You cannot see it. It's between every single electron is inside, and they know it's there. You know, they call it the energy of the void. And then the mirrors are mirroring each other. They only see each other as the mirrors, but they, in reality, a reflection of the same One with different facets, different characters. And they're talking to each other, and they get angry at each other. They see each other as being different colors, and then as male and then females, and then they fight for their rights, and they fight for their countries, and they fight for this. In reality, there are no countries, there are no genders. This is just different facets of the same pure, unmanifest, unknown, unnamed energy of everything, the ultimate. And then we inside of this playing this role. Why would the One think that, you know, this group or this other group is better? No, it's not that they're better. They're just doing what they're doing. But at some point or another, if they cannot adjust to what is so important right now, which is the realignment back from separation into unification, which won't happen overnight, but at least the focus where we start from focusing on separating each other and forming fortresses and separating even more. That this has been, until today, and for eons, this has been where society has been going. Now we start reuniting, forming groups where we start reuniting across, and then really caring for each other. I'm not talking about governments the way they're operating right now, because they are, even the One told me, they said the level of corruption now is beyond the beyond.
Beyond the beyond.
Yeah, it's like he's seldom experienced such a generalized state of corruption and so little, you know, real concern on the level of governmental bodies or corporate bodies, because there's tremendous corruption in corporations too, about the welfare of humankind.
But it's part it's part and parcel of the deal right now.
It's a parcel of the deal, but it's the free will of man to change. And they don't have that much time. You know, it's not time, but it's timing, because the clock of the One, not the clock of the other, the clock of the One is ticking. And then there will be a time where if certain structures that are still, in, you know, obsessed with what they are obsessed with, you know, be it just profit for the sake of profit, or be it whatever it is, and they're still obsessed with competition at all costs, do not understand that this is not what they came here for, because we're all one. They came here to help humanity, of course, to make profits in the equation. Of course, everyone should have what's due to them, and everyone should have a minimum of security. And in the new creation, I heard that we all will be at peace and all will be in abundance. There will be tremendous abundance to everybody. This is not going to be even a concern. Nobody is going to be enslaving their lives just to get a minimum amount of security. This is going to be out of this. Well, I have no idea how it's going to be done, whether everything is going to be automatized or I have no idea.
But some souls, God love them, they're going to, it feels like they're going to have to experience, maybe getting killed or killing somebody to learn some kind of lessons that they're having a hard time seeing right now. And that's going to be part of the deal as well, I guess.
I guess that's going to be part of the deal. It's their choice.
Yeah.
Not because they're evil, because they're not aware. See, there is no
real
evil.
They're confused.
There is stupidity, if you want. There is lack of awareness. It's not evil as we think it is, you know, just wanting to hurt.
Yeah. And do you think that's, I guess, part of our job to understand what you just said with all of the people that we read about, to understand that they're not really bad people. They're just confused.
That's right. They're just confused.
They're just confused.
And they're focused on the backs, on the old stories, and then they're reading the books. And then I was told that from the moment the new creation comes in, none of the stories that we have been focusing upon, none of the books that we've been focusing upon will be looked at. It's over.
Let me take a quick station break. Can you stick around a few more minutes?
Yes.
Okay, stay right there. Just
sure.
Just very, very short. We got a break away from naturalnewsradio.com. Thanks for Mike Adams and Natural News. It's 11 o'clock Central Time. With Gerald O'Donnell, we're continuing on OneRadioNetwork.com. Interesting conversation. So what kind of techniques can you offer to our listeners who are barraged, if they watch television, which we don't recommend, but are listening to radio and go on the internet, and we read about all of these forces that ostensibly they look like they're wanting to hurt us, or they look like they're wanting to take our stuff, or they look like they want to take our freedoms.
Yeah.
And what kind of ideas can you give to our listeners? How do they deal with that, or what do they do? Quit reading it?
Okay, I'll tell you, every structure is made out of human beings. Whether it's a governmental structure, whether it's a corporate structure, whether no matter what. What he's really fighting here is not so much the human beings are fighting, it's a structure that's fighting. That's non-divine. Any structure that you will have within creation is just a program. It's a pure program. And it takes on a life of itself, as you know. And then we have, as human beings who are divine, and we have free will, we have the right to tell to a structure, we'll change you. Whether the structure likes it or not, that's not the point. We have the right to say, we'll change you. Now, what we have to get to is to the heart of the people that are working within these structures. They have to understand that they are not enslaved by the structure. They're enslaved by their own mind. Their mind is enslaving them. Their belief system, their fears about the future, or lack of future, or lack of resources.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's enslaving them. If they are able to trust that we are coming into a new world, and if they're able to say to the structure, stop, we're changing it from within, not from the outside. We're changing you from within because all men are good at the core, because if they wouldn't be good at the core, they wouldn't exist. There is the spark of divinity in every single man. Even in a psychopath, there is a spark of divinity. Otherwise, he wouldn't exist. And the divinity is pure goodness. It cannot have anything but goodness inside. It's by definition love. There is no fear, no hatred there. None. There is no judgment there. But if you're able to connect to these people and make them at least question their state of being, because they realize that the structure is about to implode anyway. I mean, if you ask anybody, you know, how long do you think those banks can continue? Like,
sure,
how long
sure,
do you think
yeah.
the system of exploitation of the earth and fracking and then drilling and then exploding, and then how many wars do you want already to fight? I mean,
sure.
do you want to try nuclear weapons? Do you really think that nuclear power is a solution? I mean, it's all in front of our eyes. We have it. Most of the time they say, well, we know that's not the solution, but for now that's all we have, you know?
but they're
not willing yet to make the move and the change. We don't have much time. They have to at least question it, and they have to open their hearts, not to me, not to others. They have to open their hearts to their core being. Every human being can connect to the divine. They were created with that ability. That was the real message of the Christ. Every being can connect to the divine within. And then the divine will project the reality outside. But you need to connect to the divine within.
When you say, Gerald O'Donnell, that we don't have much time, doesn't that preclude the idea that you can just kind of keep kicking the can down the road pretty far? In other words, if you talk about the fiat dollar, they could just keep adding zeros, and it could be a long time before people say, wait a minute. You know what I'm saying? It's like, does there have to be an end point or a a crash or a thud?
Yes. Yeah, I know what you're going to say.
You know what I'm saying?
It's nothing anyway.
It's nothing anyway. It's all illusion anyway.
It's not even paper anymore. There was a time when they used to print it.
It's not even paper.
They don't even print it. Now they add zeros. You know what it is? Because they add zeros because it really is zero. There's nothing there. It's an electronic zero.
Right.
And they know it. You know, so, and very often, I don't think anybody is really testing and doing some serious accounting on the amount of money. And there was a time when they used to say M1, you remember?
Sure, M1, M3.
Yeah, M1. Nobody's even mentioned
it. They don't even know what it is now.
Nobody cares, you know. So let's print some more. Let's do some. Yes, I agree with you, because it's not about, it's all a game of perception. There was a game of perception before when you thought that there was a finite amount of gold that you had to be backed. So therefore, sure, my money is real. You know, I can go and get the gold. Now, they realize if they would do this, gold would go to astronomical prices because considering the amount of dollars, or you would have to collapse the dollar. So it's not the dollar. It's not the mean of exchange. It's the trust that you have in mankind as far as exchanging goods. And what are you willing to do for it? And how much do we really need? Do we need to base our societies on accumulating more and more? We're like hoarding societies. You know, we hoard. I mean, I remember, have you ever had a house and you clean it and you get rid of three-quarters of the things and you feel light, mm-hmm. you feel happier?
Clean out the closets, you bet.
Yeah, you feel so much happier. Have you ever gone on the road with just one rucksack and a bag and go across the world and go to little hotels and felt that you need nothing else than that? I mean, you were as happy as you can be. You felt like totally independent and free. You could fly.
Well, I was talking to my sweetheart the other day, and we were talking about, I can remember there's times in my life, two or three, where everything that I owned was in a box, and every bit of money I had was in my front pocket. And I tell you what, it was great, man. I loved it.
It was great. Yeah, as students, we did the same thing.
It was great. It was great.
Yeah, these were the best time. And now you look around, and you're like stuck in a place. The bigger the house, the more you're stuck because you have all this material stuff, you know. Do we really need this? Do we really need every year to buy the latest electronic gadget, you know?
The society, I mean, the way they got the system set up is kind of, it's built on consumption. So to keep it running, you know, we have to keep buying the latest iPad or the latest iPhone or
whatever
it is. Yeah, but
we don't need to accept that system. People can stop buying the latest iPad and the latest iPod, and they can say, I don't need a latest car. I don't need unless it's something that's very revolutionary, really necessary, okay, you do it. But if it's just like an improved version of that and one more book and one more... I mean, most of the knowledge that you need is inside of you. You don't need books. You can throw 99% of the books because it's all old stories. It's corrupted. It's not what you need. You need to learn how to connect to your inner self. Your inner self has more wisdom than any library of Congress put together.
So even if you have no Federal Reserve notes, so you can't go on Amazon and buy your book or something, it doesn't really matter because there's juice there.
No, you know, what we need is love. People are not connecting to each other. Couples are not even connecting to each other. When they, you know, you see a lot of people when they don't have fun, they go shopping. That's not fun. Fun is to be, you know, being in communion with each other, talking to each other, going out, being in communion with nature. People are not even communing with nature anymore because they watch it on TV. How can you watch nature, which is totally alive, which is a manifestation of God, and go on the Animal Planet channel and watch it?
The Animal Planet.
It's sad. It's really sad. So we have made our life into a virtual reality life or a reality show. It's not what it was supposed to be. We are supposed to connect to the divine through nature. We're supposed to connect to the divine through connecting through ourselves. And in our training, we teach you how to connect to the divine. I mean, I've had, I don't know, by now 20,000-30,000 students, and seldom have I seen a student that said, I did not connect to the divine.
So your work is really spiritual work, even though you call it remote viewing or remote this or that. It's really just kind of helping folks become more aware.
Yes.
I've often wondered, before we let you go, though, about this whole thing called the subconscious.
Mm-hmm.
I went through many, many years in my life, Gerald, thinking, well, there's nothing in there. I don't even believe it exists, because if I think there's something there that I don't know about, then that's weird. What Is there a reality to this subconscious?
Yeah,
where they say George subconsciously hates his mother or whatever.
Right. Of course, it's your higher self.
So
it's
that's who we are as
higher self.
That's who we are as soul, our subconscious.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's why when we become more conscious of who we are, we're actually cleaning out the closet of the subconscious.
Exactly.
Okay.
Because there are levels of your subconscious. We explain this very much in our course. As a matter of fact, if you go on our website, www.probablefuture.com, you can download an ebook which is called The Secrets of Remote Influencing. Okay, that's a very important book that I wrote that explains the mechanisms of creation in all the subconscious. It's very important. And in it, you'll understand what you really are, how you operate, how reality is manifested or created for you, by you, and what incredible power you have. And as you say, there is the realm of your subconscious, which is working like a computer program. It accumulates experiences. It doesn't judge. It has no ability to judge. It just accumulates experiences upon experiences upon experiences. And this is where our problem lies. We don't realize that we're so conditioned by that area. If you want to get rid of it, you have to go pierce through that to what some people call the superconscious. You could call this the father. You could call this what you want. That's the other conscious part of yourself that makes decision. Okay? It's infinite intelligence. When you get to that level, you just say, I don't want this anymore. I'm taking it out. I'm erasing it from the files on my computer.
Yeah, and just erase it.
You just erase it. Say goodbye. Don't give it energy. Don't bring it out. Sadly enough, psychology takes it out and then they study it even more. Let's revisit it and leave it again. No, that's the exact opposite. Take it out. Devibrate it. Give it a hum so low that it doesn't affect you anymore.
Hit the delete button.
Exactly.
So I'm on your website. So it says Remote Influencing, Thought and Reality Training System, version 2. So this is an ebook that folks can get?
No, the ebook is on the left side. If you go on the left side.
Yeah. And it says free ebook on remote.
Yeah. Yeah, you see free ebook? Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, on remote influence.
Anybody can download it, yes.
Oh, cool. Man, that's great.
It's very, very deep and very important. And then the application of it, as you take the course, because the ebook is part of the course, you do the techniques, and they're all based on the principles that are enunciated on this ebook.
So what is your spiritual practice like? Do you spend a considerable time contemplating, meditating, whatever you might want to call it, on a day?
It's almost, it gets to a point where you don't have to go to a deep state. You're in constant contact. So I just ask questions and I get an answer as I'm walking around.
So you kind of...
I've done this with a lot of people.
Stay in that awareness throughout
your day.
They
always in that awareness. Mm-hmm. At some point, it doesn't take that long. You are in that awareness.
Do you give in-person workshops? Are you doing that still, Gerald? Or do you travel around? Or
I tell you, I'm going to start doing this soon. Right now, I'm going to travel again. I'm going to have to go again to the Middle East in a couple of, 2.5 months. I'm preparing for that. And I'm going to start doing personalized training probably by the end of the year, yes.
And folks,
I will. And I will come out with some other course.
Folks can keep in touch with you on Probable Future.
Yes, they can. And then there is also a student arena. And then it's fun. Trust me, your life changes. And I'm not saying this because it's only fun. I mean, right now it's really necessary. This is like an opening glimpse to where we're all going to be soon.
Yeah, feels like we're on a short leash.
What do you mean?
We're on a short leash, you know.
Yeah.
It's time to, you know, get
it
together.
Yeah, we're on a short leash, yeah. It's time. You know,
let it go.
You know, the key is lighten up yourself, stay in love. First, you have to love yourself because the one, you have to become and train yourself to be like the one. The one can only love himself. Itself, because there is no gender, can only love itself. Therefore, fall in love with yourself, fall in love with all the facets that are yourself in reality, because you are the one. Okay, stay in happiness, enjoy, no matter what. Keep a sense of humor. This is only for a time. We are all protected as long as you believe that you're connected and you know you're connected. You are protected, and you have proof of it. And then just welcome the new creation, and then it's coming soon.
Well, we'll leave it at that. Can't get much better than that, Gerald O'Donner.
That's right.
Thanks for hanging out with us.
All right.
It's been an honor having you on the show. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Gerald O'Donner. Wow. I like that. ProbableFuture.com. Well, even adding anything to that would be just like putting red paint on a rose, wouldn't it? It just wouldn't even be worth anything. Thanks, Sharon, my sweetie, who takes care of us and does the web designing and the co-producing. Keeps Patrick on a short leash here, so keeps me out of trouble. And we will see you tomorrow morning, which will be a fun open phone Friday.
Broadcasting from the beautiful Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.